birthday party? Miracle. There you go.
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast. I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. Like always, Abracadamets, I hope you've had a great week. You've been grinding, been getting stuff done, son. I know I have. This episode actually was recorded a while back. It was. And at the time, I was really struggling to stop stuff in my face so darn much. And today's guest is, the perfect person to help you stop doing that. Yes, she is a counselor, a life coach, and she does a lot of talks. She's even got a TED Talk out. You can go check her out and listen to. And she's also the author of some really great books that we talk about in this episode. But, basically, she helps you lose weight. She helps you really lose weight, not just temporarily lose weight, but really lose weight. Now, since we've done this episode, I've actually started keto, and I'm a month in on keto, and it is really working for me. So I am on my way back to Skinny Danny. And I thought, you know, this episode's still relevant with me now, and hopefully you can relate to it as well, and it can help you. So I highly recommend, if you're wanting to drop some pounds and maybe really keep it off, to check Renee out and definitely check out this episode. So if you will, Abracadamets, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with counselor, life coach, and speaker at Pack Your Own Bag, Renee Jones. All right, I'm excited. We got Renee Jones here on the Abracadam Podcast today. How are you doing, Renee?
I'm doing great, Danny. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Now, I did just say your name for the listeners, but if you don't mind, will you go ahead and introduce yourself a little more in depth?
Sure. I am a counselor, coach, speaker, and I help people lose the weight they want to lose and keep it off.
You know, that is keeping it off. You know, I mean, over the years, I have lost a ton of weight and I've gained it back, especially the pandemic. The pandemic was horrible for me. I packed on a lot of weight and I still haven't lost it. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got several things out there. You've got a TED Talk. You've got your books. You've got stuff. Well, let me ask you real quick, Renee, how did you start down this journey?
Well, I spent 40 years on the diet yo-yo, and I actually believe I probably lost a ton of weight, like a literal ton, because 40 years up and down, easily done, right? So when I woke up in 2012 on New Year's Day, my resolution was yet again to lose weight, because I was staring down my 50th birthday. And I thought, you know, if I don't lose it now, there's no chance of losing it after 50. Are you kidding? So I started out, had to start again, as we do with many resolutions, had to start again. And again, the 1st of February and the 1st of March and in April, I was standing in my closet and I thought, there's nothing here that will fit me. Even my fat clothes were too small again. So I used a safety pin to get through the day and I came home and I thought, this is just going the wrong direction. I need to make a change. And I found a coach who helped me figure out A, what was going on and B, how to fix it. And I lost my weight. I reached my goal weight on the 8th of October, 2012. And today I am still the same weight.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. And that was 2012.
So I'm coming up on my 10th trimiversary.
Wow. That is awesome. Because that's something that normally happens when, I mean, almost, I don't know what the percentage rate is, but it's really high that when people lose that weight, it does come back.
Well, they say that most people regain it 5 years after they've lost it, within that. Even people who've had the weight loss surgeries tend to regain their weight within 5 years. So yeah, it's highly unusual to actually get to that weight. And I'm not talking about never gaining an ounce, you understand, Danny? Because yeah, we have natural fluctuations. It's just that rather than letting those 2 pounds become 12, we just pay attention, go back to what we were doing, see where we've got some creep, and straighten it out.
You know, and anyone who has had the weight loss surgery, if bless it them. Works for you, exactly, and I'm rooting for you, I hope you can keep it off. But I have never, ever seen anyone not gain the weight back who's had the surgery.
I think I know one lady.
So, I mean, and that's why do, I mean, because to me, I would think it's kind of like what you teach and what you kind of push. It's kind of a change the way you're thinking,
yes,
kind of way, the way you view it versus a new gimmick diet type scenario.
Yes, indeed. Because the one lady that I know came to me when she was preparing. She had decided this is what she was going to do. She had read all this material about people regaining the weight, and she wanted to avoid doing that. So we worked on her mindset as well as her knowledge and how you, because her issue was not being able to stay the course when she got upset about something. That's an emotional eater. For men, it's often a stress eater. They feel stress, they put something in their mouths. And this is something, Danny, we learned this from birth. There are even babies in the womb. They capture pictures of them with their thumb in their mouths. Because when a baby cries, we put something in their mouth. So as they grow, you know, if they take away the pacifier, they often go to their thumb or biting their nails. And as we get older, we change out the thumb for a donut or pizza or something like that. So there is that component of oral soothing, but that's not the only way we can soothe ourselves. And that's what we forget.
Well, and you know, okay, this is something that I do. Absolutely, I do. And that is my problem. I am an emotional eater. And I've done plenty of diets. And I like to exercise. I'm one of these people, Renee, I enjoy running. I really do. Now, granted, I like running better whenever I'm not 30, 40 pounds overweight, you know, because I can feel every pound of that, you know.
And your joints do.
Exactly. Yes, they do. So, but I like, okay, I'll say this, and this doesn't sound manly, but I got to say it anyways. This is the truth. Last summer, I was back on track. I was making good decisions on food. I was running. I was doing a lot of cardio and I was starting to lose some weight. And I was like, okay, I'm getting this pandemic weight off of me. Well, a lot of things were opening up and, you know, well, at least they are in Tennessee at the time, you know, and I was doing some more shows. And then I constantly would get comments about how much weight I had gained. Now, granted, this is in the process while I'm losing weight. And I'm thinking, hey, idiot, actually, I've lost 8 pounds. But every little comment, and I'm a comic. I'm supposed to have thick skin. Nothing's supposed to hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. But every little comment was just building up right here. And I'm like, you know what? What's the point? You know, let's go pig out, you know? And that's what happened. That's eventually what happened, you know? And then I gained every little weight that I lost right back, and I'm still at square one. So
fix that.
Yes. So what is, I mean, your statement, and which I absolutely love your statement, fix your stuff, don't stuff your face. Did I say
face
it right?
Your stuff, don't stuff your face.
Gotcha. I love that because that's just telling it like it is, you know.
Hey, it worked for me.
So, but so kind of like, if you don't mind, talk more about, you know, that little saying that, right there.
Sure. Well, you know, people can be cruel, not intentionally, but anytime we tend to hold on to the negative things we hear much more than the positive things we hear. I actually got a voice review from someone the other day, and I just had to listen to it over and over and over again because it was just so encouraging. Now, if that had been a negative review and I was listening to it over and over, it would have been disastrous for me. But we don't hear enough good stuff. And the negative stuff speaks so much louder to us because it confirms our fears. Yeah. So one of the things I have started to say often is take the thought captive, make it obedient to what you need, not what they're trying to say to you. Just take that thought and push it away. Because you've lost 8 pounds, dude. Okay, so you gained a little bit. Most people did. I had the best year I have ever had in 2020 because people were home and the refrigerator was way too close to their home office, right? And they're like, I've got to get a handle on this or I will have no clothes to wear. Yeah. So we have to push those ideas out and not focus on that, because the more you focus on it, the worse it's going to make you feel, the more stressed you're going to be, and the more likely you are, because where your attention is, that's where all of your energy goes. We just hold stuff that we're focusing on. So if we can switch that to something more positive, hey, yes, granted, take responsibility. I gained weight, but I've now lost. So I realize you didn't see the interim, but just continuing to go back to that, because if we don't face that, then we're going to need soothing. So we're going to stuff our face. And often we will stuff down our feelings and follow it with a food chaser.
That's exactly what it is. It's a food chaser. The, you know, and also I look at some people who, I try to look down the road and I see people who are a little bit older in age and they are obese and how many other health problems and things that they're dealing with now. And I try to tell myself, I do not want to be in that situation there. Mm-hmm. And and I'm not judging those people or shaming them in no way, because I understand life's tough. You know, how they got into that situation, you know, life's tough. And it seems like we are learning more and more and more about obesity and eating, you know. Mm-hmm. Why do we do that? Why do we look for that comfort food? Why do we look for those chips or stuff?
Because it works for the moment. It does make us feel better because oral soothing is a thing. But I did part of my work in a hospital, and one of them was a behavioral health hospital, and one was a long-term acute care. And the number of people we had coming in with diabetic related issues, you know, we'd start, they would have no feeling in their feet really. And then their toes would turn black and they'd have to take off a couple of toes. And then they'd have to take the foot off at the ankle and then at the knee. And it's completely reversible. It is completely up to us to be compliant to a nutrition plan that does not raise our sugar levels, but it's just too easy. It's all around us. It's on every street corner. There's more and more food all the time. And we have to kind of, you know, put blinders on until we get strong enough to pass it, just pass it by.
How do you feel about sugar? What is your opinion about sugar?
Well, I learned a couple of years ago that it kind of makes me mean. And I don't know what that's about.
She's a mean sugar-holic, folks. She's
because there was a Christmas a couple of years ago before the pandemic, and I had pretty much said goodbye to sugar then. I mean, I'll have it for holidays and that sort of thing. And my mother-in-law, God bless her, she put this plate in front of me with pie and cake and all the rest of it. And my husband was leaving with his sister on a business trip the next day. And I looked over at him and he said, go ahead, I'm not going to be here. Because a day or so after, it just makes me really ratty. Really? So I think sugar made me hungry. Anytime I have sugar, in fact, I'm just getting over a cold. And I had cough syrup one night because I was coughing a lot. And I was just starving the next 2 days in the morning. And I don't normally get hungry in the morning. I'll eat breakfast at like 8 o'clock. But I went back and looked at the cough syrup and there was sugar in the cough syrup.
Weird. Wow.
So it does affect us, but until you take it out of your body, you won't know. I also don't get depressed anymore.
Oh my gosh.
So it clearly had an effect, and I'm sure it's a blood sugar thing, but it just wasn't good for me. And now when I have it, I can enjoy the food, but thereafter it's almost like sugar has a coating on your tongue and it's like, this is gross. Why did I do that? Give me a toothbrush quick. So well, you know, it's not necessarily good for us. I mean, I think years ago it was less refined and we just didn't have it that much. So that was fine. If we can do it without overdoing it, that's an altogether different thing, but I couldn't do that.
You know, I've noticed one thing about me is I've noticed like back when I'm eating a lot of junk food and a lot of sugar because, you know, and then I'll eat a chocolate chip cookie. So let's just say it's just a plain old generic brand chocolate chip cookie. And I'm like, you know, this chocolate chip cookie is not that good.
Mm.
And then I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a chocolate chip cookie. But it's because you're eating so much of this garbage that you got to have. It's almost like that you get so used to eating this stuff that a regular treat, like a bite out of a chocolate chip cookie would be enough. It becomes not enough. And so kind of like what you were saying, it makes you grouchy. I've noticed it also kind of affects my mood. If I'm eating a lot of sugar, I get depressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, we often don't actually taste our food because we're eating so fast.
True.
And I recall the day that I gave up sugar and it was an Easter Sunday. I had purchased a bag of candy for me, the fun size for me and one for my husband. They were peanut butter candies and I loved them. And I thought, I'm just going to taste this time. So I sat down at the table and I cut mine because the shapes tend to be just the perfect ratio of peanut butter to chocolate. So I had an egg shape and I cut it into like 6 bites and I put one in my mouth and I thought, oh, this is going to be wonderful. But it wasn't. surely that was just that piece. There was something wrong with it. And I put the next bite in my mouth and I rolled it around and tried to taste it. And I thought, oh, that's disappointing. So I gave my bag to my husband and I never had another one.
So, okay, well, let me ask you this, because you did mention your husband. Now, did he have to get on some type of plan too in order for you guys to work this? Because I know me and my wife, we, you know, misery loves company a lot of times. And if, you know, if we're eating like garbage together. So.
Well, you know, whether it's the dog, the cat or Mr. Jones, nobody in this house seems to eat unless I fix it. So he pretty much, I mean, he has a few things extra, but he was on board because, you know, now he was in his late 40s and early 50s. And he was, you know, although he had been flapping in the wind the day I married him, age comes to us all. I mean, he's never been fat, but he was getting a little more around his middle than he wanted. So he was actually grateful. And then I just let him regulate it. It's like, as long as I don't have to see the food, like his mother sent him home once with this large container of salted roasted nuts. And that is my weakness. And I said, oh, no, you are not putting that in my pantry. Sorry, take it upstairs or take it to your office, one of the two. And then when he was going away on a business trip, he brought it down and he put it in the pantry. So I took it to the bedroom and put it in his sock drawer because I knew I wouldn't go in there.
There you go.
Because you have to, if you cannot manage yourself around something, it has got to be out of sight. So one of the things I do, because I'm only 5'3" and he's 6 feet tall, I put all of his stuff up because I have to have a step stool in the pantry anyway, right? So everything that is mine is on the shelf at my eye level and it's in a clear container. Anything that's for him is above eye level and in some sort of opaque container because I don't need to see it.
Gosh, isn't that amazing, out of sight, out of mind, how that really does work.
It really does.
And I mean, for good and bad, like if there's something that you need to do, you know, I like to keep it in front of my face. That way I'll make sure I'll do it. And yeah. Same thing if there, you're right. If there's like, you know, one thing right now, this day and age that we live on, the social media day and age, Facebook. A lot of times you'll hop on Facebook and all it takes is to see that one person's post and you're just like, oh man, this is blah, blah. Well, you know, if you unfollow them, eventually you'll clean up all that mess and then you won't see it anymore. And that helps, you know, just out of sight, out of mind, that person, you know. So
now if it's social media and it makes you feel bad, why are you doing it?
It true. Absolutely. That's a crazy question. It really is. Well, I don't know if the question's crazy and the answer should be simple, but it's weird the world we live in, you know, like they've talked about with Instagram, with kids and teenagers, you know, depression is at an all-time high because of the image that they, you know, think they're supposed to look like, you know. A lot of that. So, but, and I'm sure that comes along, once again, comes along one of the things that causes emotional eating. Now, let me ask you this. I don't want to, you know, I definitely want people to buy your book, check out your book, but kids, is there anything that you can talk about that you're comfortable talking about how do I, when I come home, say, instead of, you know, eating this bag of Doritos or eating these M&Ms, what do I need to do to deal with what's got me down? How do I find that thing?
Well, we all have things that we enjoy doing and things that we don't. So I'm not crazy about housekeeping, but I do like working in my garden. So if I do 2 hours of housekeeping, then it's okay. I don't feel guilty at all about playing in flowers. Or so kind of reward yourself in a different way, in a way that works for you. Sometimes what we really need is to sit down with our partner and have a cuddle because we need that contact. And we use food because that's not available. Or maybe you need to go for a walk. Now, I'm not talking about a run. If you like running, please go run. But I'm not a runner and I've tried to be. It doesn't work out very well for me, but I can walk for miles. Or maybe you need to play with the dog or stroke the cat or have sex, you know, find something that is soothing to you. Some people, you know, when about the time all of this started for me, my grandmother died and she and I were tight. My mother died about 7 years before she did. So I kind of had to fill my mother's role there, which I was fine to do because I love my aunt. She was wonderful. And unfortunately, she died just before we went on a vacation. And we left the funeral, went home, packed, went to the airport. So the first couple of days, I was just not really there because I was just trying to figure out what life was going to be like. And we walked into this room where they had like books you could borrow and games and various things. And I found a puzzle and I took it back to our room and I started working the puzzle because, you know, all those pieces have a place. As long as they're all there, you will end with a picture if you put them in their place. It has order, right? Soothe me more than looking out at the ocean all day did. Men like sports for the same reason. It has rules. You follow the rules, you do well. Painters, you mix blue and yellow and you're going to get some version of green every time. So we like things that put our lives back in order when they've been kind of off. So finding what works for you is the key there. What actually soothes you? What makes you feel better? Food is just easy. It's available everywhere, but it's just easy. But if you'll find something that truly soothes you, then you don't need as much of it. It's like what they talk about those of us who love dark chocolate, we don't need a half a bar of dark chocolate because one or two squares has just enough of that hit to do it. Well, it's the same thing. If you find what really soothes you, food doesn't stand a chance because it doesn't last and it doesn't fill the hole we're looking to fill with it.
That is so true. So, so true. The now you had mentioned earlier, well, prior before the podcast, you had talked about that you are a hypnotist.
Yeah.
Now, how long have you been doing that? Have you been doing that for a while now or?
Yeah, probably. I learned how to do that about 12 years ago. And okay. I don't use it all the time, but it has some very specific uses that are great.
Now, I mean, now I've heard people getting, you know, going to see a hypnotist to quit smoking and I guess to lose weight too. Does that work as well?
Yeah, because Denny, essentially it's a visualization technique and you're seeing yourself in that space because we know what we look like generally. We know the negative really well. And I was talking to a lady this morning and she was having a hard time seeing herself in a smaller body, not necessarily a skinny body, but even a smaller one. And I said, that's the picture you've got to create, because if you keep seeing your current body and that's all you can see, that's all you're going to find. We find what we're looking for. So if we can visualize it, I mean, I think it hypnosis is actually the same basic idea as visualization, meditation, even prayer sometimes can be hypnotizing. So it's about getting calm enough to change our vision to what we want rather than thinking, I don't want to look this way. I don't want to look this way. Well, the more you focus on how you don't want to look, the more you're going to find that. But if you can focus on how you do want to look and what your life will be like and how you will feel when you reach whatever, it doesn't have to be skinny. It just needs to be healthy. So that can work very well for weight loss. Yes.
Now, do you have like a set, is it like a diet plan or basically is it breakfast? Some people say don't eat breakfast. Some people say cut out the carbs. Some, you know, there's all these different methods, you know, what's your stance on that?
Well, my life changed the day I found the diet that works for me. I lost my weight on a low fat, low calorie diet. It worked, but I was tired, hungry, and cranky all the time. So about 2 years after I lost my weight, when I was still trying to maintain it, I ran across this program and it gave me a particular diet to follow. And it had things on it that I hadn't, I mean, cheese sauce. I mean, come on, dude, bacon. No. You can't do that and lose weight. But I thought, okay, I'm at my goal weight. I'll just give it a shot. What's a week going to do? And I lost 2 pounds that week. And I thought, okay. And Mr. Jones was like, I don't know what you're doing this week, but I like this. Let's do this forever. So what I now do with my clients is I give them this metabolic test. So they know what will work for their body. I don't understand how it works. I just feed the information into the computer and it spits it out. So I do believe that nutrition is like 75% of the equation. Exercise is good, but not necessarily for weight loss. But get the nutrition right for your body and you'll be fine.
So, okay. And now that's kind of like what you do though, Renee, is like you get clients, you set them up on kind of like a diet plan that would work best for them. It's kind of what you're saying.
What works for their body, because we're all different, Danny. I mean, we know our fingerprints are different. We know our irises are different. Apparently our ears and tongues are all different too. So if that's true, and if we have to work with medication to get it to fit our body and our situation, why wouldn't diet be the same?
That's true. That is absolutely true. I mean, well, I'll tell you this. If I was taller, I mean, I wouldn't look overweight at all. But yeah.
I'm vertically challenged too. Yeah.
So, but it just comes, it's the hand I'm dealt. So, you know, I've got to get my weight down. But, well, back on the hypnosis type of thing, I've always kind of been, it's always been an interesting thing, you know, to me. Because I'm a firm believer, like it is all up in here. It's in your head.
Yeah.
And if you change the way you're thinking, you can change, you know, a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you've had plenty of success stories using that route, correct?
Yeah. I had a friend who I knew the people that she worked with, and we had talked about, she had a fear of flying. She used to love flying, but she had developed this fear, and we'd talked about it at various times, what was going on, and we never could seem to crack it. So one of her friends said, please work with her if you can, because I've never seen anybody quite so hysterical. Her doctor gave her a Xanax when she got up, and he said, when you cross the threshold of the plane, take another one. She said, what if it's only been an hour? When you cross the threshold, take another one and have an adult beverage on the plane. So wow. she struggled with it, right? So she finally phoned me up because she was changing jobs and she was going to have to start flying. She said, okay, you're going to have to do me. So she came over. 40 minutes later, she left and started flying the next day and hasn't had an issue since.
Well, you know, I deal with anxieties, you know, my profession, I have to travel and drive a lot.
Yeah.
And out of the blue, for some reason, I started developing like travel anxiety, like going over big bridges and stuff like that, which is stupid because I'm also a rationalist too, Renee. And I'm thinking this makes this is, you know, no sense at all, you know.
But it's not about sense, is it?
It isn't. It isn't. I just don't know why, but it makes me extremely uncomfortable. And I'm like, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, it should not bother me the way it does. Mm-hmm. I wonder why things like that develop. Like, wonder why did your friend have an experience on the plane? Or do you think it was something else, kind of like the way we do when we stuff our faces?
Well, I mean, they had a rough flight once, and it was okay the next time. But the following time, it kind of kicked up for her. And I think it's because we get so stuck in our minds, so stuck in one thought. And she had a small child. So, you know, things can happen out of the blue. But if we can basically arrest them early on, then they don't get a chance to get comfortable in their space. So... So much of it is about saying, okay, this is not helping me. I'm going to push that to the side as best you can. And the more you keep pushing it aside, the more likely it is to stay there. Now, there are times when that's just not enough. That's just not enough. And we've got to do some things because it's the unconscious mind trying to keep you safe. That's its one job, is to keep you alive. And it has ideas about how that should be done. So, have you ever gone for a long time without eating and then you just want to eat the house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's your unconscious mind saying, hey, we need some food and you are ignoring me, so I'm going to push you. It's almost primal, but it's trying to keep you alive and safe.
Now, okay, so this is something... Now, okay, there's different places in the world where obesity is worse than others. Let's just talk mainly in this country.
Okay.
Okay. In the United States. Now I know, you know, where you're located, the food is absolutely amazing. You know, barbecue.
Hey, Tennessee's got barbecue too.
Tennessee does got good barbecue too. So you're right. But do you think it's places where you've seen where obesity is at its highest? Do you think it's because of the food is so delicious, or do you think the stress?
Well, you know, good food is always wonderful. But I think it's more universal than that. I think it's the desire to fill that hole within our hearts. A lot of it is just our hearts are broken and need to be healed. And we use food because it's available. Because we even eat food that's not great. I mean, most fast food doesn't have a whole lot of flavor if you slow down to taste it.
You know, I was talking about that the other day with a friend. I was like, you know, first of all, I do not like McDonald's. In my opinion, I think McDonald's quality has went downhill big time, and everything really there really doesn't taste that well. You know, I think there's a lot of garbage there. But every now and then I'm like, man, I can't wait to go eat like a possum. You know, I'm digging through the trash, eating what I can, you know, and I'm like, why do we do that? You know, why?
Well, Danny, another thing is that our food has changed a lot in the last 100 years. We've gotten into so much processing. And, you know, the more they process the food, the less flavor it has. And when it has less flavor, then they have to add things back into it to make it taste like something. And those things may or may not be good for us. You know, after the Second World War, they were trying to make sure countries had enough food. So we used to have, you know, the amber waves of grain, really tall wheat that was way up here. Well, after the Depression, they changed the type of wheat that we have to the red dwarf wheat because that grows more compactly and has more little grain heads on it. So you get more yield per acre. Problem is that red dwarf doesn't have nearly the nutrients. And it's not we're not as adapted to it. So we're looking for flavor. We're looking for nutrients. And in my opinion, we're looking for protein because protein is very satisfying. It lasts a long time. But if we're focusing on rice cakes, how many of those do you have to eat in order to get enough protein? Or how many slices of bread or fruit that has become so much more sweet than it used to be? Do you have to, because the body, it can't make protein. It can make fat. We're good at that. It can make sugar, but it can't make protein. And that's the essential thing for us to be able to grow our bones and all the rest of it. So it's looking for the nutrient it most needs. But if we're giving it something that's lacking in that, we're less likely to be able to balance what we eat. And the other thing is they chemically figured out the bliss point. Have you heard of the bliss point?
No, I haven't.
They chemically figured out what it is that makes us unable to stop eating. And that's called the bliss point. And they engineered our foods to be delivering that feeling. So the more you take in of that particular bliss point, salt, sugar, fat combination, the more you want more. That's the reason you can't eat just one.
Gosh, that's so bad. That is so evil of them.
Well, but it helps them.
Oh, yeah. You know?
And if we could be sensible, we might be able to get around it. But it's just, we need to be aware of that so that we can make different choices. If we can't control our impulse there, then we have to make a different choice, which is part of why I gave up sugar.
Well, you know, I've noticed a lot with protein. Like if I do eat, you know, a high protein type meal, I'm not hungry forever, yeah. You know, it yeah. sticks with me for a long period of time and I feel full. But let me ask you this on sugar. What is your thought about the sugar alcohol? Like it's the sugar alcohol is what they put in like in the Atkin bars and stuff like that, that tastes just like sugar. What do you think about those?
I think every body is different. If it affects you in a negative way, don't use it. If you don't feel it have any effect on you, you don't see any negative effect, use it. But don't be, you know, be judicious at times. because you can get just as addicted to that as you were to sugar. And part of the problem is, Danny, that we are trying to slake our thirst for joy, comfort, contentment with a Twinkie. Right? And they're great. I mean, I used to love Twinkies, but that's not what we're really looking for. We're just putting a placeholder that doesn't do it. Unfortunately, that placeholder tends to make us put some extra on our bodies.
So how long does this process usually, how long does it take for you to change the way you're thinking about feeding your feelings and feeding it with something else?
Typically, I mean, I have a program that runs 3 months. Usually they stay around for a little bit. And what I have consistently found, I mean, people can't get their head around a 4 to 6 month program. They just can't. It's like, can I do it faster? So I created a 3 month program. And when they pay in full, they get a bonus in month four, because it's often in month four where things go click. Oh, this is what I need to do. So I try to give them the 3 month program that they can get their heads around and yet help them with that fourth month when it begins to, they want to say, it just makes so much sense now. Yeah, it does.
So whenever someone does come to you and does your program, so do you stay in touch with them? Is it a weekly basis or how does that work? Is it?
Well, generally they get a certain number of sessions with me. And some people want to do like three or four back-to-back weekly, and that's fine. Some people want to do every other week, so they've got some time in between. I always do the metabolic tests the first week so that they know what works for their body. And then we go on to, you know, practice with that. But I also like to talk to them about their emotional baggage. What is it that drives you to food? Let's unwind that so you can be free of it. Your heart can heal. And then as you're doing all of that, you're beginning to step into your best self. So we recognize, here are the things you've got going for you. How can we cultivate more of that? And by the end of it, they typically feel so much better. They're more themselves again. And that's fantastic to watch.
And how long have you been doing this again, Renee, this program?
I started this program in late 2012, early 2013. So I've been doing it 9 years.
So pretty much, I mean, as soon as things kind of snapped for you, you got moving with this.
Well, I was already a counselor. And I, you know, did... It's funny. When I decided I was going to work with particularly women over 40, but men as well. My first four clients were men with marriage issues. It's like, I'm still a counselor. This is good. It's good for them. But yeah. And then my first year, half of my clients were 5 years post-bariatric surgery. So that pretty much solidified, okay, I need to market this. But just like with my fearful flyer and my smoker, you know, we get smokers periodically. And, you know, what I want to do is help people heal their heart so they can live the life they want to live rather than being governed by whatever is driving their behavior.
That makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, like I said, whenever I saw, you know, your profile on that, I was just like, wow, this is speaking to me, you know, and I think it's speaking to a lot of people who listen to this episode. It will definitely speak to them as well. Mm-hmm. Well, let's do this real quick, Renee. Here on the Abracadam podcast, every guest gets to see a magic trick.
Okay. I want to see.
All right. And this is what we're going to try to do.
Okay.
I want to try to read your mind, okay?
Okay.
So here we go. Hold on. Let's see. What I'm going to do, I'm going to remove some cards here. And Renee, I want you, can you see these cards?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to think of one of those cards. Don't say it. Just think of one of those cards.
Okay.
You got it inside your head.
I got it inside my head.
All right. Now keep in mind, Renee, do not forget your card, because if you do, I sound stupider, okay? What I'm going to do, I'm going to lose the cards in the deck.
Okay.
I'm going to try something here. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give my best shot here. Got a deck of cards. Yeah. I'm going to cut the deck.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to cut the deck. Renee, I'm obligated. I'm obligated here. I have cut to one card. For the first time, will you let the Abracadam listeners know the card you're only thinking of?
You want me to say it?
Say it out loud so they can hear you.
The Jack of Clubs.
The Jack of Clubs. I cut to one card, Renee. One card only.
Well done.
The Jack of Clubs. Yes.
Well done.
You've been hypnotized, Renee. You're getting sleepy. There we go. Well, I tell you what, this has been a blast. It really has. And I'm definitely going to look more into your stuff. I'm definitely going to pick up your books. I've got to lose some weight. I have to lose some weight, and I've got to stop cramming things in my pie hole every time I get depressed.
Mm.
So,
here's the thing.
Go ahead.
I wrote my book after I had created my course, because I wanted people, if they couldn't afford to work with me, or if they were able to do it on their own without accountability, then they can work their way through the book and get it done. But if they need accountability, you might need somebody to help you.
That is awesome. And one thing about me, I bully myself a lot of times.
Stop doing that. That doesn't help.
I know. I'm just... Makes
you feel so good, doesn't it? Yeah.
I think that's probably in the nature of what we do. Especially comics, we're all hard on ourselves. Self-deprecation. So it's...
Well, self-deprecation's all right. As long as you don't fully mean it.
Yeah. Jim Gaffigan always had the joke where he's like, have you ever walked past a mirror and it just ruined your entire day? You know, and I'm like, yeah, I have. Jim, I have. But I tell you what, where can the Abracadam listeners pick up your books if they want to get in touch with you about doing your program? Your website, where can they learn more about Renee Jones?
Well, the book is on Amazon in English and in Spanish. It's called What's Really Eating You? Overcome the Triggers of Comfort Eating. And my website is packyourownbag.com.
I love that. Packyourownbag.com. I really do. Well, Renee, thank you so much for coming on the Abracadam podcast. This has been very educating, and it's been motivational too.
Good. It can be fun in the end, because we're only working for our betterment, aren't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Renee, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Renee Jones. She is a true gem to weight loss. Really, she is. She really cares. And what she's selling, folks, isn't a diet fad or some type of diet, you know, scheme. It's a way to change the way you think. And it's something that's to work permanently, not just a few years, not a quick fix. So I highly recommend checking Renee out at packyourownbag.com. And definitely check out her books on Amazon. Like I said, she truly cares, and she truly knows what she's talking about when it comes to weight loss. I do want to give a quick announcement real quick before we get out of here, guys. I've got a show date coming up, November 15th. I'm going to be at Harris Cherokee Casino, and I'm going to be there doing close-up magic. Yes. So if you like magic that happens right under your nose, come out and see me November 15th. At Harris Cherokee Casino in Cherokee, North Carolina. And like always, abracadamets, thank you for listening.
It's awesome. Let's rock and roll!
Abracadamets.
Let's rock and roll!
freaking miracle. There you go.